And may I give everybody a warm welcome this evening as you gather around God's Word. And I know that He will bless you for being here. Now, that hymn we sung before the start of the meeting, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You know, and I hope everybody in this hall can see that. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now, this is a few things before the start, because during the past week, this has been on my mind. And you know how you have a small box and an old Bible that you go to. And I found something very precious. And I just say to Nan, what have I found? My first text, just a wee square piece of paper covered that I got when I was at Sunday school. And you know, it brought back many, many memories. That was a wee back in 1940. It wasn't yesterday. But I still remember the first text, and you had to memorize it, come back next Sunday and quote it. And it was, the Lord is there. You know, and then yesterday, something else happened. I was at a conference in Kinross, which was held at Crooked Heaven. And one of the speakers, I think it's David Gillian, and he said, he made a statement, or two statements, and he said, never, let us never forget the day of our conversion. And how true that is. We should never, ever forget the day the Lord saved us. And then he made another one. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, these two statements were with me all that meeting. And they're on the way home. And you know, I don't know if I've done the right thing, but it changed the message I'd like to tell you tonight. You know, and it's wonderful how God works. And I'd just like to read one verse. I'm going to read it twice. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. A famous verse. Okay, but what brothers speak on it? But it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says, whom I am chief. Now read that once again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Now, as I said, I've heard a lot of brothers speak on this, and they bring up different things, and they bring up four P's. I just want to speak about one. And it's to speak about Christ Jesus, the person of our Lord. Now, so for the, I would say, the next 15 to 20 minutes, I won't keep you long. I'd like to tell you about a wonderful friend. And there's nobody like him. And we'll just mention his name. Christ Jesus. And we go back in the Bible, and in the book of Kings, there's a queen, Queen of Sheba, could say to King Solomon, "The half was not told me, and the really the one are greater than Solomon is here." And I don't think I could tell you all about my Saviour, really, because I don't have the time at my disposal. But I will try. And one thing I can say of a surety, He loves you. And gave Himself for you. 1 Peter, and no bother turning up because I wrote it down, I hope I've wrote it right. He bore our sin on His own body on the tree. You know, do you ever think, if you're outside of Christ, that you're beyond God's help? Let me say with assurance, you're not. When we take a look at God's Word, we find all kinds of types of people whose lives are changed by the wonderful grace of God. You know, where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? I think this whole would be empty. And in John, there was a woman by the well, marvelous. And Jesus had to go by that way. And He sat at the well and He was wearied with His journey. Imagine the one who made the heavens and the earth and all that's in it. And He was wearied by His journey. But this woman could testify and say to the village round about, "Come, see a man. Wonderful. He was made man and dwelt among us. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did." And you know, He knows all about you. There's nothing that's hid from God. And then, what about the narrative? The fishermen. There was four of them at the beginning. And that's in Mark. It's also in Mark. Anyway, their life has changed. Christ just said to them, "Come, follow me." And they dropped everything they had, everything they possessed, and they followed Him. And He made them fishers of men. What a wonderful title. You know, when I go through the Bible, and then we've got Zacchaeus, a little man who had to climb a sycamore tree, never just like me, to see the Lord. But Jesus knew where he was. And He says, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And Zacchaeus came down and he received Him joyfully. What a wonderful, wonderful story. But you know, there were Pharisees who said, oh, Jesus is away. He stayed with a sinner. You know, that's what Jesus came in the world to do. He just went to kill, to seek, and to save those that were lost. You know, in the most wonderful conversion of all, I think, was Saul. You know, when you read it, the one who persecuted Christians, the ones who put them in jail, who consented to their death, halted by God on the road to Emmaus, and all Paul could say was, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And once again, another life changed forever. And he went on for God from strength to strength. There was another person involved in it. And that was a jailer. You know, and he beat them, Paul and Silas. And they threw him in the jail. You know, it was very black, way up the road. The chokes, the chains. And we know the story of the earthquake. How the scatters were loosed. The same happens when they said Christ is your Saviour. Everything, your burden, is taken away. But the jailer, what did he say? What must I do to be saved? The great answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No doubt. Just believe. Put your trust in Jesus. He'll never fail you. Now it says in the Bible in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things. And it says also in Genesis that God saw the wickedness of men, and it was great on the earth, and it displeased God. You know, God looks down the hill, and he sees the wickedness that's going round about in the world. Some in the name of God, some blaspheme my God. But you know, through all this, God sent his only Son. We often quote a verse, I don't know if it was out of context or no, but in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Jesus came of his own free will. God was made manifest and dwelt among us. And he was full of grace and truth. And he went about doing good. He never had to take back of what they say. You know, more than what I could say about myself. You know, it's a lovely testimony we have of Christ. He never did retrace a step he took. He set his face to go towards Jerusalem, knowing what would befall him there. And you know, there He laid down his life. We spoke already. He bore our sin on his own body on the tree. You know, when we think about it, God's Son was the only one who could die for us. The only one who could take our place. No other was good enough to pay that great price. And then Matthew, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So if you're here this evening and sitting in the presence of God and you're still undecided and you've got that wee thing at the back of your mind, I don't think God wants you. Disillusion. He came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come in to pick your brains. But once again, it says in the Bible that Christ offers his salvation as a free gift. Now, there's nothing more to pay. Done, complete is the work that saves. Now it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What would you have? Yeah, I know it's a silly question to ask, but would you have the wages and death, or would you have the free gift and life? Now, I've got a wee quote here. I don't know where I picked it up. It just appeared in that wee box. And it says, wages are a gift. It says, wages is something I deserve. That's if you work around it. A gift is something I don't deserve. Wages is something I have earned. A gift is something that's freely received from someone else's expense. Have you received that gift? Or are you still working for your wages? Now, brother, I think, quoted this in his prayer tonight. And it's in Ephesians. "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works." You cannot work for redemption. You cannot pay for it, it's already been paid for. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Because some people can work harder than others, and some people have got more money than others. But money or works will never get you to heaven. And could I say in closing, if you're not saved, get right with God tonight. Tomorrow, or even tonight, may be too late. Put your trust in God's Son, and He'll never fail you. I'm going to say, this is possibly for the people who are listening over the internet. If you've wandered away from God, could I say with kindness, come home? So should you accept the Saviour as Christ as your Saviour tonight? I know you'll never forget the day of your conversion. Let us pray. Our Father, we come into thy presence once again, and we thank you for the gift of thy Son. Wonder of wonders, what is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou should give thine only Son, that he should die in our place at the place called Calvary. And our Father, as we depart from this place, and there would be any inner gathering that's just that little bit undecided, may they just say, Christ for me this evening. And once again, we'll give thee all the glory and praise that's due unto thy most holy name. And we ask all this in his name. Amen.